Good evening. I invite you to open up your Bibles to James chapter 5. My heart was stirred as we sang that psalm. This evening we're going to be talking about the commandments of God. And as we just declared in our singing, we love His precepts. We seek to obey them. So may we love them as we learn about them here this evening. James chapter 5. Tonight we're going to be focusing on one single verse. We're going to be looking at verse 12. Just a quick little reminder, well, for some of you college students, your first Lord's Day with us. I'm going through the book of James in the evening, occasionally, as every other couple of weeks. And just a reminder of this book, it's a very practical book. It's meant to teach us how we are to live as a Christian. And James often does this by way of contrast. He gives us the way to live, and he also defines for us the way not to live. And then finally, which we haven't really talked about much before, James sounds an awful lot like Jesus. He was the brother of Jesus. And so with that in mind, let's give our attention to God's word. These are not the words of men, but the words of the living God meant for you, his people. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. This is the word of God. Let's pray and ask his blessing upon the reading of it. Father in heaven, there's so much to learn in this one short verse. We ask that you would teach us. Use it to expose the sins of our hearts and of our minds and of our mouth. May we be transformed to become more and more like Jesus Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we live in a time and an era that seems that truth is hard to come by. Social media, the 24-hour news cycle, seem to perpetuate this bending of the truth. Whether it's individuals on social media trying to show themselves as something that they're not, or something that they are, or the products that are being tried to be sold to you, they promise some type of overinflated results. For us, the truth is concealed oftentimes. Then there's the news. A story trying to perpetuate some type of narrative on one network, and the opposite story on the other network, teaching very opposite things. So what are you to believe? How are you to understand the truth? You know, we could throw stones all day long at the news and at social media, but let's be honest, it's not just a them problem. We as the church, it doesn't take much reflection to discover that we're a bunch of liars. We're a bunch of liars. I'm not saying that there are not times that we lie, but rather, there are times, those times in which the truth is either withheld or outright lies come from our mouths. And let's be honest again, we don't do this for some noble purpose. We do it out of self-interest. Husbands lying to their wives, promising that they'll put something at the top of their priority list to do something that they promised, and yet they fail to do it. Wives are lying to their husbands. They put that one more thing in the shopping cart, whether it's digital or actual, and think that maybe they won't know that I purchased it. Or children, you lie about doing your homework. You blame your siblings for the fighting going on or the destruction of house property. Employees are lying to their employers, saying they're putting in the time, especially for you people that work remote. But then there's the employers that are lying to their employees, not making good on the promises which they made. Politicians are lying to their people, and the people are lying back to the politicians, maybe in taxes. And this list could go on and on. And I hope as I speak here this evening, you're thinking of areas in your life where you're lying, where you're hiding the truth, you're bending the truth for your own personal interest. And it might seem as if this is just a problem of our day, but I need to assure you that it's not. For lying has been around since the beginning. Since that cunning serpent, the devil, deceived our first parents, where they fell into sin and misery, the lying tongue has been a part of our makeup. Truthfulness is not cherished. Rather, we look to doing things that are lying for convenience. And that's exactly where the scriptures here meet us this evening. In James chapter 5, verse 12. See, the church of Jesus Christ as a whole, and each one of the members, like you and you two back here, and me, are to place the truth, to exalt it, to expose lies, to despise them, and to cease from lying. So the point this evening is very straightforward, and it's this. You are commanded to tell the truth. You are commanded to tell the truth. So tell the truth. So is truth telling the pattern of your life? So as we work through this one verse this evening, each phrase by phrase tonight, I hope you can see the significance of the topic of telling the truth. So first, this command is consequential. Telling the truth is very, very important. James begins with these words, "But above all, my brothers and sisters, but above all." Notice this phrase begins with a "but." But often, and rightly so, the "but" relates to what immediately precedes in the passage. And I think this is a faithful understanding of this word and of this phraseology in the scriptures. But it's not always the case. And I think here, in this case, that what James is really doing is setting a marker of a new understanding of what's gone before, all of what's gone before, not just the preceding verses in this passage. It's like he's saying here at the close of his letter, "Now hear this. Hear this, because it's very important. It's vitally important. It's above all. Place this on the top of your list." You may be thinking to yourself, how could this passage about saying yes and no and taking oaths should be placed on the top of our list? Well, the answer is yes, it ought to be. And this is not entirely new territory for James. If you remember in chapter 3, James deals all kinds of ways with the tongue, the mouth, how our speech is to be controlled, how our tongue can be very destructive in what we say. It can cause all types of trouble. As James says, who can know it? But it's not that James hasn't talked about this topic before. It's not just important to him. If this passage seems very familiar to you, it's because it's almost identical to the teaching of Jesus as is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, which we read partially from this morning here at College Hill. And so, like a good pastor, James steals his teaching from the priorities of Jesus. And so, this should be important to you. But above all, brothers and sisters, children, I want to ask you a question. When your parents want to get your attention, what do? Sometimes they might yell aloud. But oftentimes, for my children, I would say, look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. And if they weren't paying attention, I might get down on my knee, and I grab them by the chin very gently, and put their eyes, even with mine, and say, hey, you need to listen to what I have to say. It's really important. I don't want this to go in one ear and out the other ear. You need to give it your undivided attention. And I think in a sense that's what James is doing for us here this evening. Hopeful that we understand this is consequential. This is very important. Now we need to understand what James is saying. And second, this command that James gives for us has some conditions to it. There are parameters to this command. So what does James mean when he says, do not swear? So let's look at the next phrase. Do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. Before we can understand what James is saying, we need to understand what he's not saying. If you're like me and you grew up in the church, when someone said, don't swear, what comes to mind is using that filthy language, saying those words that are disgusting or inappropriate, those bad words. For me, it's those words that my brother may have used and then had his mouth washed out with soap. Well, the scriptures are full of instructions of how we should not use coarse and filthy language. But that's not what James has in mind here in this passage. James is referring to swearing to an oath. And the question that should be bouncing around in your mind is James saying and Jesus suggesting that we don't swear to anything or make many oaths to anyone? Well, we can't go into much detail here this evening, but there are tons of passages dealing with this very topic. Let me say this, though. The scriptures of the Old and New Testament, both, the totality of the scriptures, are full of examples of people groups, nations, churches, taking oaths. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, we're told that the Lord himself took an oath. So oaths in themselves are not wrong. Rather, what James is talking about is the manner in which they are sworn. To understand this, we understand that there is a rabbinic tradition in which was practiced during the New Testament era, which was full of all types of false swearing. And this was affecting the church, especially those congregations which had large populations of those converted Jews. So what was happening was these people were swearing, and they would invoke some type of phrase like, I swear by the temple, or by the holy city of Jerusalem, or something like that. It would be like someone of us saying today, I swear on my mother's grave. It sounds holy, maybe, for the people of God to do that. I swear by Jerusalem. See, you're talking about the temple, Jerusalem. How can that not be good? How could this be wrong? What was going on, though, is that this was a rabbinic version of crossing your fingers and placing it behind your back and taking an oath. I may have sworn this oath, but I was only referencing the temple, not God himself. I'm only bound by those oaths that are taken in the name of God. And in that, the truth is sacrificed and the heart is exposed. And greatly, the witness of the church of Jesus Christ is damaged. This is exactly what Jesus condemned the Pharisees for in Matthew chapter 23, where it says this: "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by that oath.' You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by that oath.' You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it." What Jesus is saying here, it doesn't matter what you swear by. You are bound to your word. You are bound to your word. You can't be fooled to think that you can get out of your commitment with some type of clever phrase or the crossing of your fingers. Nothing is hidden. And really what is happening, what Jesus is saying here, really what's happening is that you're blaspheming the name of God when you do this. So having understood what this commandment is, the conditions of this commandment, what actually is James commanding here? Now we look at the content of the command. The content of the command is simply this: "But let your yes be yes, and your no be no." In reiterating Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, James' command is simple, it's straightforward, it's honest speech. That's what it is. Say yes when you mean yes. Say no when you mean no. It doesn't get any simpler than that. There's no need for an elaborate oath taking to prove your truthfulness. Should not try to fool others with your false oaths. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I was reading an article in psychology. Sometimes I mess up my words. It's an article titled "The Theory of Lying and Dishonesty." In this article, the author spent 10 years of research, and he concluded that people lie for three general reasons. One, when they spot an opportunity for dishonesty to allow them access to desirable outcomes that honesty would not allow. What he's saying is, telling the truth won't get me what I want. Secondly, when they think their dishonesty will go undetected, when the consequences of detection are tolerable. No one will figure out that I'm lying. Three, people manage to conceive themselves that they are lying for the greater good. They devalue their dishonesty. The truth will just hurt if I say it. I think for most of us, this is pretty clear, and I don't think it would take us 10 years of research to determine this, for the scriptures are abundantly clear about this. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And lying, as we said before, it originates in our hearts. And James says here, and Jesus says, it originates from the pit of hell. Let your yes be yes, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Don't be fooled. Lying is evil, and it's from the evil one. As people transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, there is no neutral language in this instance. You're either telling the truth or you're not. So it's very important. Everything you say is very important. So say yes when you mean yes. Say no when you mean no. Don't mask the truth. Don't bend the truth. Such a simple command, and it's so vitally important. And why is this important? James goes on, because there's a condemnation attached to those who disobey this command. James says in the final phrase, so that you may not fall under condemnation. As a motivation, James points out that there is condemnation attached to false oaths with a lying tongue. And this word James used to as condemnation is not referring to the correction that the Lord brings to believers in their lives. It is true, Christian, that the Lord corrects us when we're struggling to tell the truth. It is true that God is very gracious in His correction. He's very merciful to us. But the word that James uses here is not referring to correction. What he's talking about here is the word for judgment on the wicked, for their actions and their words. And in the New Testament, this word is almost exclusively referring to the punishment of evildoers and the eternal punishment is waiting those who practice evil, the unregenerate heart. You may lapse from time to time and on occasion in telling the truth, but is it a pattern of your life to lie, to mask the truth? When that accountability partner or dash group leader asks you if you're struggling with a particular sin, you say no. When you know, in fact, you are. This ought to be a sobering reminder that when you lie, you're blaspheming the Lord, and it's serious. Children of darkness follow after their father, the father of lies and deception. But the children of light follow after their father, and they speak the truth. Like many other tests of faith in the book of James, this is yet another one. Do you have a living faith that speaks the truth? You say yes when you mean yes, you say no when you mean no, or do you have a faith characterized by lies and deception? Brothers and sisters, in a world of lies and deception, the Church of Jesus Christ is to rise above such behavior. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak the truth, no matter the consequences. For this is very important. It's a simple command. There's a condemnation attached to it if we do not obey. I hope and pray that your life is one of truth. May God give us the grace and the mercy and the strength to speak the truth in all situations. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, this is a sobering reminder that when we lie, we're like the Pharisees. We're like Satan. So, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Continue to do your work in us. that we may speak the truth. And Lord, speaking the truth can be hurtful to ourselves. It exposes our hearts. But Lord, as James tells us all throughout this book, that the trial and the testing of our faith is to produce steadfastness and to make us complete for every good work. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do that in our hearts as a congregation, as a people, as these students start a new year. We thank you, and we ask you to do these things in Christ's name. Amen.